discussing halachas of avelos, particularly related to Yom Tov, when Yom Tov cancels avelos. The basic klal has been that whatever stage of avelos a person is in, that's the stage that Yom Tov cancels. So the person's in the middle of Shiva, Yom Tov cancels Shiva. The person's already in the middle of Shloshim, then Yom Tov cancels Shloshim. Obviously, it doesn't cancel Yud Beis Chodesh. The Gemara tells us another chiddush in the end of Maseches Ma'akotan, that even in situations where Yom Tov cancels, let's say Yom Tov cancels a Shiva, so it affects Shloshim as well, in terms of it starts a whole strange different counts towards the number of Shloshim. So the number of Shloshim, we usually think you count 30 days of the calendar and then you finish Shloshim. But not so simple. Whenever Yom Tov comes in, and even though it doesn't literally cancel Shloshim because it's too busy canceling Shiva, but it does affect the count of Shloshim and a whole series of different kulas. So one of the kulas that the Gemara tells us is, let's say a person is a kovis meis lefnei achag. The person's relative dies right before Yom Tov, so they bury the mace before Yom Tov, and Yom Tov comes and cancels Shiva. So how many days of literal Shiva do they observe? So we had a machlekes at Tanaim last week. We passed it even one day, even 1 minute, as long as they observed a little bit. So that counts, and the whole Shiva is over. The Gemara says that since the Shiva has been cancelled, so we view it as if 7 days have already been observed. So even though on the calendar, so only 2 days have been observed, only 5 days have been observed, doesn't matter, that the halacha is as if 7 have already been observed, and that 7 already starts to add towards the calculation of Shloshim. So the person now only needs another 23 days left towards the counting of Shloshim. So no matter how many literal days on the calendar have taken place in terms of observance of Avelos, he's already 1 week ahead in terms of the count of Shloshim. Then the Gemara has another Chiddush. The Gemara says that you can have a day of Yom Tov that's really on the calendar only 1 day, but halachically it's treated like a whole period of time. It's treated like a whole week. So the Gemara starts to say, well, what kind of case do you have? Where do you have situations where a day is only 1 day, but it counts as a whole week? So the Gemara says, we have it a lot of times. You have it.
So what's the Yom Tov accomplishing? So I understand the Yom Tov is accomplishing to negate the Shiva, because it's a simple and it clashes. Where does it come to take away the 7 days?
That's
a process. Right. I thought there was also like a process. There's a reason.
In theory, there's a process, but this is a pi halacha. The day is counted in this way. The Yom Tov takes on its own. So far, we haven't seen Yom Tov counting as any more than 1 day. We've seen the period of Erev Yom Tov being counted as a week. So
then it wouldn't work like Yud Beis Chodesh.
Yud Beis Chodesh doesn't make anything. Yud Beis Chodesh is from day to day. That's it. Yom Tov doesn't play any role in Yud Beis Chodesh.
So Shoshim has a different.
Right.
It's not an emotional or relationship with the.
I mean, again, it could be it's rooted in that, but halachically, Shloshim can be maneuvered around based on Yom Tov. So Gemara is all kind of chiseling away how in the world where the 30 days disappear to. So the Gemara starts talking about different days of Yom Tov, which themselves are only 1 day, but somehow Pidin are considered to be like whole weeks. They take on a whole week in of themselves. So the Gemara talks about Shavuos. That's not so bad. We understand that Shavuos is considered to be like a whole week, because Shavuos in the Beis Hamikdash at least was considered to be like a whole week. We spoke about this in several times. Then the Gemara starts talking about Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara starts talking about Shemini Atzeres, all kind of different Yom Tovim, which counts as an entire week in and of themselves. So the Gemara says that if a person buries the mace before Rosh Hashanah, so let's say they observe the veils for 2 days. So as soon as Rosh Hashanah comes, they're already 7 days into the Shloshim, because the Erev Yom Tov time counts as 7 days. Then the day of Rosh Hashanah itself counts for another 7 days. Then they're already up to day 14, so the Mamash are ahead of the game. So the Gemara says, that's a tremendous Chiddush. The Rosh Hashanah counts as a whole 7 days. So come to Rishonim and say, who cares that Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days? It says, the Avelos is gone goodbye by Yom Kippur anyway. And what's the difference whether we call Rosh Hashanah 7 days or we call Rosh Hashanah 1 day? Literally, at the end of the day, the Avelos is going to be gone by the time Yom Kippur comes, no matter what. So the Rishonim were really, really bothered with this kasha. So there are some Rishonim who said that the answer to this kasha is that Yom Kippur cannot cancel Avelos. Yom Kippur can't cancel Avelos. The Mishnah, we paskin, the Yom Kippur cancels Avelos. The Ravid says, Yom Kippur can't cancel an Avelos that was already canceled by Rosh Hashanah. Namely, you have one Yom Tov per Bittul Avelos. Let's say if a person is sitting Shiva and Rosh Hashanah comes, so Rosh Hashanah cancels Shiva. If a person is sitting Shiva and Yom Kippur comes, then Yom Kippur cancels Shiva. If a person's in the middle of Shloshim and Rosh Hashanah comes, so Rosh Hashanah cancels Shloshim. person's in the middle of, can't be in the middle of Shloshim, but Yom Kippur, that's the wrong case. So comes the rabbi and says that any given Avelus can only be Nisbatla one time. You can't have two strikes against the Avelus. You can't have one Yontif cancel the Shiva and another Yontif cancel the Shloshim. So therefore the Gemara says that we have to make, the Halacha makes, the Rosh Hashanah counts as an entire week, and the person's still in Shloshim. Yom Kippur is going to come. Yom Kippur will not cancel the Shloshim, because Yom Kippur cannot cancel an Avelos that was already taken apart by Rosh Hashanah. So all the other Rishonim say that halacha is not true. There is no such halacha. That Shiva is cancelled by the first Yontif, and Shloshim is cancelled by the second Yontif. How you get two for the price of one? Yeah, that's the din. Each Yontif has the ability to cancel each stage of Avelos, even though the person is ending up losing, in a sense, both stages of Avelos. So we're back to square one. We still don't know. We're not exactly sure. What happened over here? Why is it? What in the world does the Gemara mean? So Rishonim have a lot of problems how to understand this halacha. So the Ramban throws his hands up. The Ramban says, there's no nafkamin at all from this halacha. When the Gemara says that Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days, the Gemara is just saying that Rosh Hashanah is the same as the other Yom Tovim. So just as Shavuos is 7 days, and maybe Shemini Atzeres is 7 days, so Rosh Hashanah is also 7 days. Does it matter that it's 7 days? No, says the Ramban. It doesn't make a difference. Halacha l'maaseh doesn't make the slightest difference, because the Avelus is going goodbye by Yom Kippur anyway. But the Gemara is just filling you in on this piece of interesting information, that Rosh Hashanah is also considered, quote-unquote, to be 7 days. So we're not quite sure what to do with this Gemara. Again, halacha doesn't make much of a difference. The halacha is that Rosh Hashanah counts as 7 days, but it doesn't really matter to us, because the Avelus is going away by Yom Kippur anyway. Some Rishonim say that it's not enough kamina for the days of Shloshim. It's enough kamina for a din we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. The Gemara says that the first week the person is not supposed to leave his house. The second week you can leave your house, you have to move your seat, you can't talk. There are different halachas. The only problem with that is that the poskim say that if that's the case, then it for sure means nothing for us. Because for us we wait the whole year anyway, right? So we can't put our fingers on exactly why we really care about this halacha to be true, but the Ma'aseh it says it, and the Gemara says it in the Shulchan Aruch.
But so, at the end of the first day of Yom Tov, you're 14 days into Shloshim.
Right.
Is that what we're saying? Yom Tov Rishon does 2 days and cancels Shiva, and that's 7 days, and it is itself, in itself, is also 7 days?
On a Yom Tov which doesn't have a Cholamoy to it, like a Rosh Hashanah or Shavuos, so that counts as a whole week in of itself. But the Yom Tov of Sukkot, so then you don't say that it's 7 days and then 7 days and then 7 days of the week of Cholamoy. That you don't do. I mean, a period of Yom Tov is automatically 7 days. If it's literally 7 days, great. If it's figuratively 7 days, that's also great. So if you have a Yom Tov such as Shavuos or Yom Tov such as Rosh Hashanah, which is only itself on the calendar one day, but it counts halachically as the whole 7 days. The other of Sukkot, so then
7 days of Shiva,
and then 7 days of Sukkot. But then you get another cool. Then you get the cool Shmini Atzeres. Then you get the cool Shmini Atzeres. So then the Gemara says that Shmini Atzeres is like a chag. It's like a regel b'fnei atzmo. It's like a yom tov in itself for these halachas. Some halachas yes, some halachas no. And then Shmini Atzeres gets you another bonus. Gets you another 7 days as well. So by the time the person finishes, let's say if a person started the Avelos before Sukkot, so they get 7 days automatically for the period of time that was observed as Avelos. They get the week of Sukkot as another 7 days. They get Shmini Atzeres counts as a third 7 days. Now they're already up to 21. They haven't even started, barely started, and they're already up to day 21. So my mother will have this a couple of years ago. Her sister passed away, Mama Shener of Sukkot, and she had maybe an hour or two of Avelos Nerv Sukkot, and then pretty much that was almost just about it. It's a handful of days at the end in terms of Shloshim, because that 21-day Cheshbon. So the Rishonim at the bottom of the question is a little bit strange, because we're saying that Shmini Atzeres counts as a separate Yom Tov, it counts as a whole week. If it's really true that Shmini Atzeres is a regular b'fnei atzmo, Hilchos Avelos, so why doesn't Shmini Atzeres cancel Shloshim? It's the same way we say that if a person started Shiva before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah canceled Shiva, then we said Yom Kippur, according to most Rishonim, like the Rav, most Rishonim say that Yom Kippur canceled Shloshim. So you should say the same story by Shmini Atzeres. If the person is sitting Shiva before Sukkot, so the beginning of Sukkot comes, cancel Shiva, then when Shmini Atzeres comes, that should cancel Shloshim. That's not true. The Gemara says explicitly that's not true. The Gemara says that Shmini Atzeres counts as a week, but imply that it doesn't cancel the shloshim itself. So we don't really understand mimonim shach. If shmini atzeres is a separate yontif, it should cancel shloshim. If it's not a separate yontif, so why does it count as a whole 7 days? So it's one of those strange things about last strange things about shmini atzeres. So the Rishonim are not really sure what to make of this halacha. But a chol there is a din out there that shmini atzeres does count towards the whole weekend itself. There was a big machlekes apelskim about when we say that shmini atzeres counts as a whole week. Does that apply only in the case that the Gemara gives? The case that the Gemara is that the person was buried before Sukkot, so you got the ball rolling a little bit. So you had seven, and then Shmini Atzeres is seven. What if a person is kovah mesa beregel? What if a person buries his mace on Sukkot itself, on during the week of Chol HaMoed? So then the halacha is, we'll talk about it a little bit later, where the Shiva begins after Yontif, but the Shloshim actually begins beforehand. Because the days of Shloshim and the days of Yontif can coincide together. So if a person buries his mace on second day Chol HaMoed, Shiva's put on hold, but the Shloshim clock has already begins to tick, even on Chol HaMoed itself. So when the Shloshim clock begins to tick, does Shmini Atzeres come and count for a whole week in that clock also? So many people can say no. Many people can say that the only time that you have this chiddush, that Shmini Atzeres counts as an entire week, it's a whole Yom B'fnei Atzmo, that's only if the Avelus really truly started from beforehand. If the guy hasn't even gotten into the first base yet, so then nothing happens yet. So then he just counts according to the regular cheshbon. And not everyone agrees to this. There are different opinions about this. I think you had the shadow, right? Was it?
Yeah, but no one told me about that.
No one told me that.
This is news today. Okay. Started before Shiva.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Oh, okay. So we can't talk about the second half of the shadow. I want to know.
30 days from when
died. No. So you counted from 30 days from.
No, 3 days from Shiva.
So you kept. You mean you kept the extra 7 days of an extra 5 days, whatever it was. Okay. The emphasis for a parent, it doesn't make all that much of a difference usually between Shiva and shaving, whatever, little things here and there. Not such a difference. Okay. Anyway. So up until now we've been talking about the basic standard halacha is everything is based on the fact that you can't observe Avelos on Yontif. That's a given. So you can't observe Avelos on Yontif, and not only can you not observe Avelos on Yontif, but Yontif has the ability to cancel to certain degrees Avelos as well. Where did the Sol Halacha come from that you can't observe Avelos on Yontif? So we said last week, that's the Gemara by cutting off your Dalid. The Gemara tells us that when you have a clash between a private mitzvah and a mitzvah shel rabim, so the mitzvah shel rabim takes precedence. So Avelos, only one person, one family is an Avelos, whereas Simchat Yontif is a mitzvah that applies to all of Klal Yisrael. So the mitzvah zaseh of all of Klal Yisrael overrides his doicha, the personal mitzvah of Avelos. That's the source of this entire area of Halacha that we've been talking about. So the Rishonim quote from Baal Halachas Gedolos. Baal Halachas Gedolos was written in the days of the Gaonim. We're not exactly sure who wrote it. Machlokes of Rishonim who wrote it, but it's an old sefer from the way before the days of Rashi and Tosfos. But the Baal Halachas Gedolos has a following chiddush. He says that the only reason why Yontif overrides Avelos is because they are basically on the same level. Avelos is a mitzvah, and Yontif is a mitzvah, but Yontif has that element, has that aspect of it of Rabim. So Rab is more important than Yochid. What if you can construct a scenario where Yontif is not as choshev as Avelos? That the Avelos has a certain characteristic to it that Yontif doesn't have. What was that characteristic? So comes about Halachas Gedolos and says, well, we paskin, he's speaking on behalf of the Gaon, we paskin that Avelos is deraisa. Well, not exactly Avelos deraisa. Avelos Yom Rishon is deraisa. We've quoted this many times, but there was an opinion out there that on the day of Misa and Kavura, a person dies and is buried on the same day, that's labeled as Yom Misa Kavura. So many Gaonim and Rishonim, including the Rif and the Rambam, were of the opinion that the obligation of Avelos on that day is deraisa. So most of the time in America, we don't even have Yom Misa Kavura. But once a person dies at night, buried the next morning, so then for the remaining hours, according to some opinions, there's an obligation of Avelos Mamash Mederaisa. You have to take off your shoes Mederaisa, and you can't wash Mederaisa, and you can't learn Mederaisa. All the Yisur Avelos that we're familiar with, according to some Rishonim, those are all deraisa on the first day. Comes about Halachas Gedolos and says, what would the din be if you have a clash between that mitzvah deraisa of Avelos and Simchas Yontif? But the particular Simchas Yontif that we're talking about would only be a Simchas Yontif mid-rabbanan. How do you have a Sukkos Yontif Midrabbanan? Very simple. If the Yontif is on a Midrabbanan, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, so Bizman Hazeh, we know already that when the Yontif Deraisa is, we have a calendar set up, so we know exactly when the first day Pesach is, we know exactly when the first day Shavuos is. So we have no real Suffolk Bizman Hazeh when the real Yontif is. But the Gemara says in Beitra Midrabbanan, the Chachamim instituted, that you have to observe Yontif Sheni as well. So we're not questioning, we're not minimizing, we're not giving any zilzul to Yontif Sheni, but we, in our heart of hearts, we are familiar with the fact that the obligation, the observance of Yontif Sheni Bizman Hazeh, it's not even really a suffix. It's really it's a certain sense of Torah Tzvadai. It's a din midirabanan. It's a requirement of simcha midirabanan. It's a requirement of inisim alocha midirabanan. It's a requirement of eating matzah at the second seder midirabanan. It's a requirement to say hallel midirabanan. All the mitzvahs hayom that are potentially midiraisa on Yantav Rishon, all of them are only midirabanan and Yantav Sheni. So now comes about, let's those who may start to make the following calculation. If a person dies on Yantav Sheni, and they're buried on Yontif Sheni, which the Gemara happens to say you're allowed to do. Whether we should do it or not do it, Bizman is a different story. But Medina the Gemara for sure, it's okay. In the days of Hag, they were still doing this for sure. The person died on Yontif Sheni. They were buried on Yontif Sheni. So now the Avelim come back from the basic verse, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's Yontif Sheni. So everyone's partying and singing and having Sudas and Bosa V'yayin. What exactly are these Avelim supposed to do? So our immediate reactions. Avelim and Yontif, what are you kidding? Maybe Dvarim Shabbatzina, maybe at best, at worst, Dvarim Shabbatzina, private. But for them to mamish, to sit out on the floor and take off the shoes and to start to, for them to observe Avelos, what are you joking? It's Yontif. Yontif is a mitzvah sharabim, and there mitzvah on a shal yachid. Says the Baal Lachas Kedoshim, no, we just changed the facts on the ground. Because this is Yom Yisra Kvura, which is a Deraisa, and it happens to only be Yontif Sheni, which is a Derabanan. So now you have a new hierarchy to address. You have to ask yourself, what takes precedence? Does a Deraisa take precedence over a Derabanan? The answer is absolutely yes. A Deraisa, even though it's only a Yochid, it's only an individual's Deraisa, but clearly a Deraisa is more important than a Derabanan, says the Baal Lachas Gedolos. So in this one wild, crazy scenario of a person bearing the mace on the same day that they died, on Yontif Sheni, for the remaining hours of Yontif, the Avelim were obligated to observe Avelus Midda Araisa. Since they're required to observe Avelus Midda Araisa, so that takes precedence over Yontif Sheni, because Yontif Sheni is at worst, at best, whatever it is only a mitzvah, is only a mitzvah midrabanan. So that's the source of the famous Pesach of the Baal Lachas Gedolos. You can have Mamish Avelus Gemura Midda Araisa if all these factors are there. It's Yom Yisra Kvura, so it's the Araisa, and it happens to be Yontif Sheni as well. So many of the Rishonim disagree with the Baal Lachas Gedolos for different reasons. So there were some Rishonim who disagree with the Baal Lachas Gedolos because they disagree with his entire premise, because they hold that Avil Yom Rishon is only Midrabanan. That's the view of Tosfos and the Rosh, it's not all the Chachmei Ashkenaz, were of the opinion that the whole Shtickl Torah is predicated on a mistake. It's predicated on the assumption that Avelos Yom Rishon is Deraisa. That's just not true. Even Avelos Yom Rishon is on a Midrabanan. So if Avelos Yom Rishon is on a Midrabanan, then we're back to our original equation of Rabim versus Yochid. So Rabim always wins out over a Yochid. What's the difference? Deraisa, Derabanan. There is no Deraisa. Everything is Derabanan. So that's the view of many, many Rishon. Tells in the Rush, quote the Bahag and say it's not true because we disagree with this basic premise. But then the Rush quotes some others and say, no, that the Baal Lachos may be right and yet not right. He may be right in his facts that Avelus Yom Rishon may be deraisa. We can see. Maybe he's right. Maybe the Gaonim are right. Maybe the Rif's right. Maybe the Rambam's right. That Avelus Yom Rishon is a deraisa. But even though they may be right in terms of that, his application is still not correct. Why? Because now we have to ask ourselves, says the Rush, we have a conflict between two different mitzvahs. We have a mitzvah deraisa, which is very, very important. It's deraisa, Avelus Yom Rishon, very, very choshev. But it's only a mitzvah shal yochid. It's only a private mitzvah. So it has one thing in its favor that it's a deraisa. It has another thing against it that it's a mesh. So it's only a mitzvah shal yochid. On the other hand, we have a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif, which is very, very choshev, because it's a mitzvah shal rabim. On the other hand, it's not so choshev, because it's Yontif Sheni, and it's only a derabanan. So we had a blackboard here, and we had to ask ourselves, which is more important? Is a mitzvah derabanan shal rabim more important than a mitzvah deraisa shal yachid, or vice versa? So that's the question that the Bahag said, what's the Shaila? It's the Deraisas and the Rabbanans, how can you even negotiate? So the Rush says, I can negotiate. I'm willing to discuss. That maybe a mitzvah derabbanan, if it has that quality, that characteristic to it, shel rabim, maybe that's more important than a mitzvah deraisa shel yochid. So the Rush says, I'm not sure the Baal Halachas Gedolos is right for two reasons. Number one, I don't agree with his facts on the ground. I don't think that a Velos is ever deraisa. And even if he's right and I'm not right, I still don't think he's right. Because I think that perhaps a mitzvah shel rabim, even though a mitzvah derabbanan, would be more important than a mitzvah asay shel yochid deraisa. Do we have any gemara about this, any precedent, any discussion about this? What would the din be? So forget Uchaz Avelos for a second. If you have a conflict between two mitzvahs, we spoke last night about Esed Dechalosos, you have a conflict between two mitzvahs, you have a choice to do one or the other, A or B. So A is a Deraisa, but it's only a private mitzvah. B is a Derabonon, but it's a Rabbi mitzvah. Which one should you do? So the Rush says, I'll bring you right from the Gemara, that you do the one shall Rabbim. I, it's only derabbanan. Doesn't matter. The mitzvah shel rabim derabbanan is more important. What's the raya? It's a famous raya about Gemara tells a story where they came to a shul and they walked into shul and there were only 9 people there for the minyan. We're not the only place, you know. Every shul has had this dilemma. You're missing a guy. You're missing a tenth. You're missing a tenth guy for the minyan. So what do you do? So today we call, we text, we go, you know, to get the tenth guy. So knocking on doors. No problem. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Eliezer happened to have had an Eved Kenani with him. And he freed his Eved Kenani. When you free an Eved Kenani, take a piece of paper, write a quick shtashichur, hand it to the Eved Kenani. Now he becomes free. Once he's free, he's like a ger, and he's mitzvah for a minyan. When Kol Zman, he's an Eved Kenani, he's dinu ki'isha, so he's not mitzvah for a minyan. Once he's free, then he's dinu ki'israel gom, he's like a ger. So then he counts towards the minyan. So that's what Rabbi Eliezer did. That's the famous Chacham Tzvi has a kasha. It was such an easier way to do it. Why didn't he just make a golem? That was a Chacham Tzvi's kasha. So easy to make a golem. I guess in the Chacham Tzvi's days it was easy to make a golem. So why didn't he make a golem? So Chacham Tzvi says, you see from here that a golem is not mitzvah for a minyan. That's his right. Mishnah Berurah quotes this Chacham Tzvi and Uchaz Tzvila. So, okay, case it's irrelevant. Yes, in Rosh it was relevant. So good. Okay, anyway, getting back to the story. So Rabbi Eliezer freed his Eved. So the Gemara says, what? How can he free his Eved? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to free an Eved. It's an assay. It's an Isser assay for a person to free his Eved Kenani. He's supposed to keep him as an Eved Kenani. So the Gemara says, no, it's okay. It was to make the minyan, it was okay. So it's not clear in the Gemara. The Gemara in different places quotes the story a little bit differently. So in one place, it sounds from the Gemara that the only reason why it was mutter is because it was a mitzvah sharabim. It was such an important mitzvah to make a minyan, such a chashma thing to make a minyan. So comes the Rush and says, it's such a chashma thing to make a minyan, that's true, but there's no deraisa in making a minyan. The Rush says, what was the deraisa? Well, to say baruchu, there's no deraisa. To say kaddish, kedusha. What was the tremendous, unbelievable mitzvah deraisa that they must have had a minyan for? So the Rush throws his hands up and says, the only thing you could possibly in a million years tell me that was deraisa was in case it was Pasha Zohar and they needed a minion to lay Pasha Zohar. That's what the Rush says in the Maseches Brachos. So he says, it doesn't sound that way from the story of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say Maisa be Pasha Zohar that they didn't have a minion. And some Rebbe Lezer had better planning than to go to a place for 9 people for Pasha Zohar. He must have gone to the Pasha Zohar Shabbaton. So it's hard, the Rush says, it's hard to believe that's Pshat in the Gemara. So it's from that statement of the Rush, hard to believe that's Pshat in the Gemara, that the Chumash Hadeshin says, you see from the Rush that you need a minion for Pasha Zohar. The whole Chumah that we have, that when we lay in Pasha Zohar, we have for the women, so we ask the 10 men to stay around, that's based on that diuk of the Chumash Hadeshin from what the Rush says, don't say Pshat in the Gemara. So the fact that the Rush entertained it to say, don't say it, that shows that you really would have needed a minion. But getting back to what the real Pshat in the Gemara is. So the real Pshat in the Gemara, says the Rush, they made a minion to say Kaddish, to say Kiddush, to say Baruch Hu, even though these are not such unbelievable mitzvahs. These are not mitzvahs deraisa. They're only mitzvahs derabanan. Says the Rush, you see that the reason why you're allowed to, in a sense, violate a mitzvah saseh of freeing the Eved Kenani is because the mitzvah shel derabanan is very, very important, because it shall rob him. So this is the mocha for our equation, says the Rush. We're trying to figure out what's more important. Is a mitzvah shel rabim derabanan more important than a yochid deraisa? So I'll bring a raya from the story about Maisa Rabbi Eliezer. That's the Rush's razzle-dazzle pshat. So the emes is, we're not learning that sugi right now in Maseches Gittin, but suffice it to say there are other answers to that gemara. The other Rishonim have different pshatim as to why you're allowed to free the Eved. Nothing to do with the minion being shel rabim. The whole thing is not true. Ramban writes, the reason why you're allowed to free the Eved Kenani is because the issur of freeing an Eved Kenani is like the issur of Lo Sechonim. Lo Sechonim, like you're not supposed to give a non-Jew a present. So even though the Avakanani is not quite not Jewish, but he's not quite Jewish either, so the Ramban says that it's a type of Anissa like Losachonim, and Losachonim is permitted to be quote-unquote violated if it's the Tovas HaYisrael. If I give, let's say, I give a tip to somebody, I give a gift to the mailman, so I'm not giving it to him because of Losachonim, I'm giving it to him because I want him to deliver my mail a little bit, I want him to come when it's snowing, not to leave the mail on the street. But I want the garbage man not to scream at me if I forget to leave in a recycling or something. So I want them to take the rest of my garbage. Sometimes there's like a so sometimes the garbage will get mad at you. They see this one bottle and they won't take all five cans. So I want to give him a gift once in a while that he should be a little bit nicer to me. So that's like called losichanim. That says beferish and shulchanach. That's mutter because I'm doing it letzarech Yisrael. So that's what the Ramban says when I'm being mashed in the minyan. I'm not doing it because I have this tremendous love for the Eved Kenani. I'm doing it because I want to daven in the minyan. So that's bechlal not considered to be a violation of freeing the Eved Kenani. So the rush is. Reading of that Gemara is highly questionable. But getting back to Chas Avelos, at the end of the day, we have three different possibilities of how Avelos Yom Rishon would play out on Yom Tov Sheni. According to the Bahag, you would mamash sit on the floor and take off your shoes and observe Avelos, regular business as usual, regular Avelos. Ay, it's Yom Tov, so what? It's only Yom Tov the Rabbanan, and this is Avelos the Raisa. According to Taz in the Rush, the whole question is a moot question, because Avelos is not the Raisa at all. And then the Rush says that even if Avelos would be the Raisa, the Bahag is still probably not correct. But there, according to at least Chanukah, so most of the Rishonim assume that they never instituted. Chanukah is not Yom Simcha anyway, so that's the reason why they probably didn't institute. Purim is a big machlekes, so there are some who say, right, but we don't know the case of, according to the Bahag, if it would be Yom Misa Kvura on Purim, what would you do? So that touches on this Purim, Adir Isa, Adir Abad, Adir Kabbalah, that's really a whole different ballgame. So it's hard to know. I don't know what the Bahag would hold about that. So there's a lot of lumdus about this Bahag, and they learn the beginning of Masechus Ksuba, so this sugya comes up, and the sugya of Misha Meis, Avishal Chassi, Mishal Kala, so that's where all the Rishonim talk about this Bahag. But at the end of the day, for us, it's not really relevant, because the Ramah and the Shach, both Paskin, at least Fashkenazim, that Avelus and Mishan is not their ice anyway. So if Avelus and Mishan is not their ice, then the Shah is really a moot child, and then it's just a regular Dirabon. It's one Dirabon against another Dirabon. One is a Rab and one is a Yochid. So the Rab is going to override the Yochid. So it's a lot of lumdus and razzle dazzle shul Torahs. But at the end of the day, there is no Avelus. So we pass in Aloha that there's no Avelus at all. Not in Yontif Rishon, not in Yontif Sheni, Mamish Gornish, Mekornish. The Avelus begins after Yontif is over. Now the next question is, well, what do we mean with that statement? The Avelus begins after Yom Tov is over. So let's say the person is Kovei Meisa Beregel. So we said that the days of Shiva don't start. There's a private observance of Avelus, Tvam Shibitzin and Shulchan Aruch, we pass the night to Ramban, do apply. But the public Avelus doesn't start until after Yom Tov. And more important for us, the days that are counting don't begin until after Yom Tov. So let's say a person is Kovei Meisa on the third day of Chol Hamoed Sukkos, then everything is in a sense put on hold in terms of the Shiva, and the first day of Shiva is after Yom Tov. What does after Yom Tov mean? What do the words mean? The first day of Shiva is after Yom Tov. So if a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Yom Tov Sheni, so then after Yom Tov is pretty straightforward. So after Shmini Atzeres, which I see Atzeres was Torah the same day, so then the next day is when the Avelus, that's day one of the Avelus. What about if a person lives in Chutz Laaretz? So now you have a strange situation. When exactly is Yom Tov over? Well, depends. On the one hand, Sfeika D'Yoma, we have to observe the last day of Yom Tov. On the other hand, about Heart of Hearts, we know that the Yom Tov is really, Midar Ais is really over already at Shmini Atzeres. So come to the Gaonim, Rebbe Mahalachas Gedolos, and others, Nefer Chiddush, and say that even though a person is not going to observe Avelus in Yom Tov Sheni, if it's not Yom Misa Kavu, everybody agrees, there's not going to be any Avelus in Yom Tov Sheni, but Yom Tov Sheni can count to the first day of the count. It can count as the first day of Shiva. So when the person gets a day shaved off, even though he's not observing Avelus, but it still counts as day one. And this, in fact, we pass like this. Aloch Lamais, this they told you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this they told you. Okay. Okay, so in Shulchan Aruch it says this explicitly. We quote this tradition from the Gaonim that Yom Tov Sheni counts as the first day of Shiva. Why is that? Because it's only Dirabbanan, Stam, so therefore it can count.
How about if a Chutz La'aretz person is an Eretz Yisrael on the second day Yom Tov?
So it depends whether he's observing if.
Well, but he's holding the second day of like an additional form of
counts anyway.
No, no, I'm sorry. If he for some reason thinks...
No, but he's just sitting. So usually, you know, the Pesach is robes. you know, that if you show them the second day Yom Tov and Erev Tov, they have to and a quarter, whatever.
So you want to know, so that's going to...
So he's sick, so does he have to...
Oh, so you want to know, his observing the second day Yom Tov is in effect going to be cause a cooler, so to speak.
Like everybody's going to agree, because if here you the day counts, it'll definitely...
No, for sure it's going to count. The question is, does he observe Avelus?
Right.
So I would say that if he really holds that he's supposed to be keeping 2 days, like...
So
those post conversations,
it's Barabim and it's the whole Indian that you're in there to throw doesn't override that.
But in terms of Avila,
because the whole country's holding, you know, or it's, if you hold,
there's no Rabim, is
it? Or it's different. The whole country's holding.
Oh, I see what he's asking. Is that would you call that an Esesh or Rabim?
There's no simple.
I don't think so. A guy's on a desert island. Right? A guy lives in a desert in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. There's no one else is around. So you would say that Yom Tov is not an Esesh or Rabim? I don't think so. I think that Yom Tov, by definition...
It's one thing when this vacuum, it's not this.
I don't think so. I thought you were asking that the guy's observing 2 days of Yom Tov, so should we say even Makula, that he should not observe Avelus? So we do, yeah. We tell the guy not to wear tefillin. We tell the guy tell him to make brachas. We tell him to do Ben Makula, Ben Lachumra. So Ben Makula, Ben Lachumra would mean, I think, there would be no Avelus. I think so. I think that would be the din. I think so. Rabbeinu is a tshuva about if a person's a Ben Chutzot, is in Eretz Yisrael and Yadav Sheni, can he go hear a hesped? Can he go to Levi? It's going to have a hesped. So it's going to be a hesped, Yisruch, or whatever. Can he hear a hesped? So Rav Moshe is a tshuva about what's the isra of a hesped on Yontif? Is it to be maspid? Salam to Hashem. Is this the kav isra on the person who's hearing the hesped? So that's maybe that you can actually fill with. Okay, anyway, getting back to this story. So the Rishonim quote the tradition from the Gaon of Moreti that when the Yontif is only a derabbanan to a Yontif, so then it can count towards the count of 7 days. So the question is, why should that be? Conceptually, why should that be so? Why should it count if it's Yontif derabbanan? So he's supposed to be simcha derabbanan. So how can a day that's in the one year of the day simcha, how can that count towards the day of Avelus? So if you want to say this over in a fancy way, in terms of a fancy lumdus, this may touch upon a fundamental distinction that many achronim have between dinim derais and dinim derabbanan. There's a famous word from the Nesivus, and the Osameach has this, that there's a difference between isurim derais and isurim derabbanan. That isurim derais are what we call isurim chefza. If you have a piece of chazer, so there's something spiritually wrong, a spiritual poison about this chazer. If you have an egg that was cooked by a non-Jew, it's bishalachom, there's nothing spiritually wrong about this. There's no chefza on this. It's just, I as a person, I'm not supposed to eat it. The Rabbanim said not to eat it. So in order to uphold the authority of the Rabbanim, I'm not permitted to eat it. So maybe it's also deraisa, according to the Rambam. Maybe the violation of lasos, maybe a deraisa, but it's a different type of anissa. It's like the famous Meshach Chochma. He has a marshal in Chum Shibashi Shoftim. He says that it's like not listening to the king. If a king makes a decree that nobody should eat ice cream, so ice cream becomes awesome now. Ice cream becomes anissa chavtza now. Ice cream is good. It's a good thing, ice cream. It's just that the Torah wants to uphold the authority of the king. So you as a gav are not allowed to violate the words of the king. But there's nothing wrong with the ice cream. So too, the Meshach Chochma says, there's nothing wrong with the egg that was cooked by the goy. It's nissa bishulakam. It's anissa on the gavra. Only Yisurim D'Oraisa can permeate the very nature of the item. The item becomes nitfas with an Issa Chefza on it. So if you take that idea of Chefza and plug that into time, so you have a similar idea. When you have certain days that are imbued with certain qualities, you have a day that's a Yom Simcha. So is that true? On Shavuos, is Shavuos imbued with a Yom Simcha, is a Yom Simcha, the day itself is a Yom Simcha, or is I as a Gavra, I'm supposed to make believe, I'm supposed to do things of happiness. Today, what's that the day? Today is the same as any other day. So it could be that that's the difference between deraisas and derabbanan. When you're dealing with days deraisa, so the Rabbanu Shalom created the Teva, so the Rabbanu Shalom said this day has characteristics of it, of Simcha. There are physical characteristics of days, and there are spiritual characteristics. This is a day, is a different kind of a day. Shavuos is not the same kind of a day in the creation of the world as any other day. The Sukkot is a different type of a day. Basically, these are different days, and they have qualities, characteristics of Simcha to them that takes over the very essence of the day itself. So that's the reason why If a day is a Yom Simcha, how in the world is it going to count towards Avelus? Avelus means that as a private citizen, I'm saying this is a sad day. You're saying it's a sad day. How can you declare this to be a sad day? How can it be Nitvus? There's only one calendar. If the calendar says, smile, you can't put a sad face on it. It doesn't exist. There's no such entity as calling a Yom Simcha as a Yom Avel. That's the reason why the days of Yom Tov cannot count towards the Shiva. It's impossible for them to count the Shiva. But that may only be true when it comes to days that are deraisatika days, days that are only midrabanan. So it's true, you as a gavra are supposed to go through the motions. You are supposed to have the same bus of yayin and yantav sheni as had in yantav rishon. You're supposed to eat the same matzah and yantav sheni. Everything is the same from the vantage point of the gavra. But between you and me, in terms of the nature of the world, in terms of the essence of the day itself, the simchas hayom itself, so that is just not true. The yantav sheni doesn't exist in terms of the change of the essence of the day. It's not considered to be a yom simcha from the day's vantage point. So according to that Shiva Torah, then we can begin to understand why we have no problems counting Yom Tov Sheni as the first day of Shiva. Even though you as a person shouldn't do Avelus, because you have a mitzvah of Simcha, so your mitzvah of Simcha is Docha, the Yisr, the Dinim of Avelus. So from the vantage point, when the Gavra is asking the question, so the answer to the Gavra is, don't observe Avelus. On the other hand, when the question is from the vantage point of the Yom, does the Yom count? So yeah, the Yom counts. A day can count the Shiva, even though you as a person, you as a Gavra, are not actually observing Avelus. That would be a very, very fancy pshat in this distinction of the Gaona. This would also be a throwback to what we spoke about. Uri mentioned Purim, so we had a big machlokes about what the status of Avelus is on Purim. Is there Avelus? Not Avelus. Shalom to Rishonim. But the one thing is for sure that Purim does count towards the count of Shiva. So if you hold that Purim is Bamash Yom Simcha, how could it count towards Shiva? The answer is it's a Yom Simcha. It's only Yom Simcha mid Rabbanan. It's not a Simcha in the terms of that the whole day is called a day of Simcha. You as a Gavra are supposed to be Mesameach, but the day is not labeled as a day of Simcha. That was also when we spoke about the Purim Sugya, so we mentioned that the Shulchan Aruch paskens that a person is allowed to get married on Purim. How can you get married on Purim? Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha. So it could be that that Isra of Eim Arvin Simcha B'Simcha means when the whole day is permeated with is a Yom Simcha, so then if you start to superimpose your private Simchas on it, that's a problem. When it comes to Simchas Purim, it's not that the day is a Yom Simcha. During the course of the day, you have to do things of Simcha. So I have my bus of a Yayin, and then I get married an hour later. What's the deal? I can't do two things in the same day. I can do multitask. When you have a day that's permeated as a Yom Simcha, then the Din of Eim Avin Simcha kicks in. So this may be part of this beer of these Rishonim as to why, yes, there is Avelus on Yom Tov Sheni. I'm sorry. There's no Avelus. There's only Simcha on Yom Tov Sheni. But Alpha Pichain, it can still double and count as the day of the Shem. Next week, we'll try to see the other beer, other Rishonim, the Ran, Rabban, for another way of understanding this the somewhat strange halacha. The Yom Tov Sheni is no Avelus, but Alpha Pichain counts as the day of Shem.